This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebound punched outside. Shepard fires from the top. He hit it, and that's going to count. He hit three as time expired. The lead is 30.
I was all ready to have the legacy discussion. I put it in the run sheet of Shea and Sam Presti and Tyrese Halliburton. And I had planned, all of us did, for the Oklahoma City Thunder to close this thing out on the road. The Indiana Pacers said, shut your mouth. 108-91. Beat down to force game seven on Sunday in Oklahoma.
Yeah, now we got to now instead, we got to replace that in the rundown with who's more clutch, Shea or Tyrese Halliburton is what we got to do. This
was
one
word. Topic this morning.
It was a whole half hour of just like, call in. We're going to talk about who's more clutch after a 40 point blowout that's ended up way closer than it should have. This was Indiana in complete control. I'll give them a ton of credit. I thought they were going to fold in this game.
Yeah, I did too.
Not just pack it up and go home totally, but I just thought it was going to be, all right, OKC finally won back-to-back games. They're going to kind of remember who they are and what they have over Indiana, and they're going to exert it in game six and just knock it out. And
with a compromised Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, and this was flat, and this was Indiana coming in, locked in, and punching them in the mouth.
Boy, flat is a generous statement. They were bad. That was gutless. That's a gutless performance. You have a chance to knock a team out. You've already won back-to-back games, and you come out like that. This is where you bring this up all the time. Like if you are a road team and you win game one, you're automatically coming out flat the next day.
Yeah.
Or if you're the home team up 2-0, you're automatically coming out kind of flat in game three on the road. Just the lack of Put them away.
And what I'm terrified of if I'm the Thunder is just the effort mentality. Like the Pacers, I know they wouldn't say this or believe this as professional athletes. The Pacers, from a perception standpoint, they've already won. Like
right.
you're going to seven games and you are one of the biggest underdogs in NBA Finals history. And if I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm like, guys, nothing on your shoulders. Nothing whatsoever. These guys rear ends are going to be so tight.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to be so Shea has to win this. Jalen Williams got crowned. He's the next Scottie Pippen. You know, Sam Presti's Jerry West. Like, zero pressure, you would think, on the Pacers going in there. I think they got some steely resolve role players who I'm going to trust more than Oklahoma City's. Like, Dort is going to have to hit three threes. Caruso is not going to have a goose egg. And I'm going to pick the Pacers to go in here and shock the world, even though it's not shocking now that we've gone to seven.
No, what's shocking is that the last game seven we've had is LeBron. That's what's shocking. It's been that long?
Yeah,
been 10 years since we've had a game seven of the NBA Finals?
Like, that was so long ago, Kyrie was still not considered like a difficult player to have on your roster because he had made that shot to go ahead. And that was the block series. That was the one when LeBron came down and had the block. I was just looking at it. I was curious, like, because obviously nobody feels like Indiana is inevitable, right? I don't just mean this year. I just mean in general, where it's like eventually they're going to win a title. Like, if they don't win it this year, I feel like Indiana's not winning a title. But I was looking at it and I was trying to see, like, where's their court? They've got, like, basically one player that's coming out of contract, Mathurin, and he's restricted. Like, otherwise, I mean, their group is together for the next 3 years. Now, is it a group that you think can collect all that magic and be competitive like that most years? But if there's any level of pressure, it might be, are we going to get back here? Like, this might be the only shot.
Cooper Flagg dined with Nico, Kidd,
I'm sorry,
Finley, and Rick Welts at Bob's Steak and Chop House. Shout out, Bob. In Dallas over the weekend. Tolo's.
Still waiting for that text back from Bob. He said he was going to invite me out to golf.
Oh, really?
Still waiting for that text back.
Tolo's immediately said he better have ordered that grilled chicken. Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm good. I just missed.
Working that extra day has your equilibrium off. I'm starting to think you broke that microphone over there.
Might have been.
Did Flag order the grilled chicken? Because earlier in the day, he had an impressive on-court workout that he insisted on doing. Here's Mark Stein with DLLS on what he heard.
Yeah, the way it was described to me was that he wanted to go for a full hour. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to go ahead and do a draft workout. And it was a, you know, a huge organizational presence that got to watch him. And the work, impressive. That's just all I kept hearing. Impressive. He, you know, he is the modern NBA forward that every team wants. He can do so many things. He can handle, you know, we'll see how he shoots it in the NBA. But I have to say the early rumbles I've heard that, you know, shot looks pretty damn good from what they're saying on the streets.
You know, the interesting thing here is we were talking about this with CA going down memory lane with that Duke team that beat UNLV, where, you know, they had Leitner and they had Hurley and they were the leaders of the team. They were the best players of the team. And then Kay says, you know, I knew we had a chance in the game the second time we played him is because we had Grant Hill. We had the best player on the floor. Even though he wasn't the best player on the team, he was the best player on the team, right? He was the most talented player.
Okay.
All right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it took me a sec to understand what you just said, but yeah.
But he was the best.
He was the most talented. He was not the most well-rounded best basketball player yet.
He wasn't seasoned yet, yeah. Right? And you can maybe kind of draw some similarities here with that. We're like, yeah, Anthony Davis and Kyrie are more seasoned. But right now, you can make the case that he comes in and he's the Grant Hill, where he is the most currently, considering age, the most talented.
You want my giddy clip of the week? Well, I'm playing it anyway. But Brian Scalabrine.
Scal, baby.
Friend of the show. We got worst take. This is most fun take for me. This gave me goosebumps and chills. I love this type of hype stuff. Scal went on the Dan Patrick Show and was asked about Flag.
Oh, I don't do the white guy thing. I think it's LeBron James. Cooper Flag is a supercomputer. So his trainer and me are really close friends. When Cooper was not even a high school student yet, he was a freshman, but he hasn't played a high school game. Cooper came down to play in my pickup game down here in Boston. His trainer wanted me to get my eyes on Cooper. And he told me, I got a 13-year-old that can play against UMaine kids and he can hold his own. I don't believe that for one second. It's another over-exaggeration of a kid. But after seeing him, I totally believe it. And over time, I've been close to him and worked him out and stuff like that. And they got to a point where I just couldn't help him anymore. He was just too good. Workouts are supposed to be challenging and you're supposed to push guys to do something better than they normally can. And he just kept mastering every single thing. And you talk around the NBA and you talk about guys, they're always saying LeBron is like that. Like LeBron can act like he's not paying attention and shoot around. And he can call every action, every play, and what they're trying to get and how they got this on with 4:36 to go at this much in the fourth quarter. So watch out for it. And I've never met, and I've been around a lot of players. I've been around Hall of Fame players. I've never met someone that just can pick up things at such a high rate. And when people talk about NBA players, they wonder how this guy make it. And this guy's 6'11", and he's long, and he's athletic, but he doesn't make it. A lot of it has to do with their computer, their processor. And he just processes on a rate that I've never seen before.
Supercomputer.
LeBron James. I heard LeBron James.
LeBron James.
You tell me you're going to compare him to LeBron? Okay.
Yeah, is that helpful, though?
Yeah.
If there's concern.
Compared to arguably the greatest player of all time? Yes, there's that, I'm happy about
right,
that.
But even the Duke people are trying to say, like, don't talk about him like he's LeBron because he's not. Like, is their right. danger in the hype that then yes. sets expectations that aren't there.
Yes, it puts and this is I'm not comparing it to, but like you know the Wyatt Langford hype. It's like he's Mike Trout, and all of a sudden well, he's not Mike Trout, right? No, not yet. Yeah, there's danger in the hype for sure. Absolutely.
Yesterday was the birthday of the Diggler. Nice. So happy birthday to the great Dirk Nowitzki. And went down memory lane. I saved this clip from Big Don. Don Nelson at the NBA Finals getting his Lifetime Achievement Award. This is a long one, but I thought it was just a fantastic story. I want to give you the feels on a Friday. This was Don paying homage to number 41 back in the day with the birthday yesterday.
Dirk was the most talented big man I'd ever seen. He was close to 7 feet tall, and he played like a small forward. Donnie found a way to isolate him from most of the NBA scouts, and they played in the World Games, European against our American players down in San Antonio. But Donnie got him to train in Dallas, and they trained in the YMCA, and only two people were allowed in there. That was me and Donnie. So I got a chance to watch him for a week, and no other scout could come in. And I begged his friend Holger, who was with him for his lifetime, I begged him not to go down to San Antonio. I didn't want anybody to see him because I liked him that much. And he went down and ended up scoring like 35 and 15 rebounds or some number. And I said, oh, man, we're not going to get him now. Everybody's going to see him. But they only saw him the one time, and he started slipping in the draft. We kind of knew where he was. We actually went from 6 to 9. And got him and made enough money so we were in the black that year instead of the red. Ross Pearl Jr. liked that. And so we took a gamble on him. And I have to say, in that draft, Paul Pierce was my favorite player. And we had Paul Pierce going top three. So we didn't even consider that he would be there. Wouldn't you believe it? When number 9 came up, Paul Pierce was there and Dirk Nowitzki. And I looked at Donnie and I said, oh, shit. Paul Pierce is my favorite player. He's going to be a star. And Donnie says, come on, Dad. You know what we've been doing for the last month. We were hiding him in Donnie's basement so nobody else could interview him. So anyway, I said, you know what? You're right. We've made a commitment and we'll stand on it. And we took Dirk. Now, it was tough for a while. In Dallas. I mean, people thought I was a mad scientist. They may have been right. I don't know about that one. But anyway, we stuck with him, and then we got Nash in a trade. And then history can answer the rest of it, for sure.
My recollection on all that was that these guys got everybody to believe that even if they drafted Dirk, he wasn't going to come over for 2 or 3 years. And so a lot of people passed on him. And they made it happen, and the results were historic.
What a player, huh? What a human being. I'm so proud of him.
I just thought that'd be fun to go down memory lane. Awesome. You had CA yesterday. The big fella turned 47.
Dude, that's awesome. Because, you know, like this.
Because everyone here can relive all that.
Yeah, and I don't know
that. From Perot to Nash and Carlisle. Yeah.
First game I was sitting at, I remember there were two people behind me talking smack about Nash was hurt. He was taking free throws at warm-ups. And they were like, there's another Nelson bust. They're like, where's that big German kid? Where's that one? Was he going to be out here?
It was, because Nelly had, he always wanted to find that big man who could handle the ball. Like, he wanted the Anthony Mason, the point forward. That was his dream.
He
right?
loved, to this day, he'll tell people Arvydas Sabonis was like the best player he'd ever seen.
I mean, that's a lot of people say that he was, like, had he come over here a decade earlier.
He'd have been Jokic.
Exactly. But yeah, it's, they took a chance on that. And good boy, could you imagine just the thought that they could have drafted Pierce and how different, like he's, you know, Dirk, who knows if Pierce stays, if he stays here for 5 years and wants to leave, you know, who knows? Right. But we have such a,
stayed in Boston.
But you know, Boston is, they've got a cachet. They had a bigger cachet. They're a historic franchise.
Yeah, for
sure. You know, I just, you know, we have such a love affair with Dirk. It feels icky even thinking that they could have possibly drafted anybody else.
It reminds me Dirk wouldn't have succeeded here with Nico running things. No. Because he had the same dietary issues early on that people thought he was reckless with, and they thought that, oh, he's drinking and he's out partying, and then the same thing, like, Nico would have never stood for what Don Nelson referenced there, which was Holger, and having his own shooting coach that would not have sat well with Nico in the organization. Like, I don't know that Dirk survives here. He definitely doesn't make it 12 years to win that title.
He became a better rebounder as his years went on. He was never a great defensive player, but I mean, he was able to grow.
He's the most beloved athlete in DFW, in my opinion.
It's not even close. I don't even think it's close.
You don't think it's close?
No, I don't know.
Him and Pudge, Pudge to me, is it's there. Those two.
What about Roger with the old school?
Probably. Yeah. It's just, I mean, obviously not grown up with him. When you were in Maryland growing up watching, because basketball was like your top one growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, what was your perception of Dirk outside of, like, soft, being national?
Soft. It was Duncan, KG, then maybe you could get Dirk into a conversation. And we used to fight for years here within the station, Corey Majors, KG, Dirk, because the perception was Kevin Garnett was better than Dirk. I think Dirk passed him with the later part of their career.
He had a late kick. I mean, the last half of his career was far better.
Dirk definitely passed him. I saw him do it when they swept him in three games. He ran right by him every single time.
He owned him.
Let's hook you up with a final concert ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on, and why RJ says the huge L.A. Laker news is not great if you're a diehard Dallas Cowboy Tolo. Commercial free with the Expressway and the Junk Drawer is next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are commercial free with the Expressway. We have the Junk Drawer coming up at 7:40 and a concert ticket giveaway to hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on, as Bobby Belt is back home.
Ah, this is so much better. It feels right. Over there did feel specifically too close. You're too close to be able to hit me if I say something wrong. I've tried to protect myself the first hour and 20 minutes here without any hot takes, and now I can fire him off.
So back in his natural chair after DJ Pridemore came in and fixed the microphone that was somehow destroyed yesterday.
Thanks, Blake.
Trayvon Diggs with his breakout player for this year's Dallas Cowboys. You're hipping with it, Peyton Russell. Who was he talking with?
Neon. This is Neon. Mm. I'm more of an Aiden Ross guy. I think RJ follows Neon more. He's brought him up a few times.
I don't really follow Neon. Okay. I just know who Neon is.
Yeah, he was with Neon in his backseat of the car talking a little football, I guess.
So this is Neon, and he's a streamer?
Yeah.
What
like,
is he?
Like content guy, streamer, basically. He goes on, you know, YouTube or, you know, Twitch and stuff and just streams, basically, just whatever he does throughout the day.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's not just a video game thing?
No.
He's that cool and he's that interesting?
I guess so.
Okay. Trayvon Diggs telling Neon who this year's Cowboy breakout will be. Let's see if y'all agree.
These young guys we got. Oh my God.
Who's like your favorite underrated player on the Cowboys right now?
My favorite underrated player?
Yeah. That's going to have a breakout season, you think?
Sam Williams.
Okay. What does he play?
Defensive end.
Defensive
He's
end?
He's like another Micah.
For real?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think he might be faster than Micah.
Okay. Sam Williams, the breakout. Maybe just as athletic, if not more, than Micah Parsons, Bobby.
I don't think he's as fast as Micah. He's fast, though. I mean, he is genuinely, like really fast, and he's bigger than Micah. Because Sam is probably, I don't know. I'd bet Sam's got 20 pounds on Micah, something like that. And so, I mean, for him to even be considered in the range is impressive. But, yeah, let's see how you come back from an injury that took you out for the whole year. I would never feel comfortable calling a breakout player who just missed the year before because of injury.
Is that quote from this interview?
I don't know. But it was aggregated by an aggregator.
Yeah.
So it has to be true.
Yeah.
But
I'm not touching that.
I don't know.
Has to do with Trayvon and fatherhood. Take that where you will. But there he is, the prediction for Sam Williams. Give me your defensive line surprise. Is it Isoraco? You feel safe with him over Sam or Neyland?
Yeah. So Neyland could be really good this year. Neyland's not going to be good in a way that most fans necessarily want or will flash the way it needs to, because Neyland's never going to be a double-digit sack guy. Like, Neyland's whole thing is he plays the run really well. He's disciplined.
It's really hard to do, too.
He's just, it's not something that shows up in stats where you're going to go, look at this number right here.
Tank never got that credit.
Yeah, and Tank was, even Tank was a bigger pass rusher because Tank just had, like, a big toolbox. Neyland's still figuring out his toolbox and pass rush moves. Isoraco will get, I said it earlier this year, Isoraco's going to get minimum 6 sacks this year as a rookie. Like, he is going to get these opportunities to stand up there. If Isoraco signs,
yeah.
Isoraco's going to be the one that they have the most trouble with as a rookie, I think. Like, Booker will have his ups and downs probably relatively because just playing the offensive line. I think he's going to be a good starter. But Isoraco just coming in and doing, like, situational pass rush, he's going to knock that out. Like, he's going to be difficult.
Okay. We have the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders celebrating because they're getting a big time raise.
A 400% raise.
Wow.
So this is like, you know, that whole, the Netflix series, they talked about it during the second season of it. They're getting a 400% pay boost.
I didn't know this was out. Amanda loved the first one when we were in Oxnard. She already hates when I go and partied up on the beach, but I thought I was making her happy, but no, it made her even more upset when I saw the Dallas Cowboy cheerleading Kelly. Coaches.
Yeah.
Is it Kelly Finglas?
Yeah, when you said that, because I remember you thinking like, here's a way to score some points. I was like, nope, that didn't help at all.
It did not help, as I was like, can I get my picture with you guys? Can you guys come on the show? Because Amanda and a lot of people loved that Netflix series, America's Sweethearts. And she watched the one that was on CMT as well. But I guess season 2 is out and Shereen Williams was watching it.
Yeah. And so in 2019, they doubled the per game pay to $400. It was from 2 to 4. We know Bonnie Jill was, she posted on social media today when she was a cheerleader here in like the early 90s. She got $15 a game. 15, 1-5.
Wow.
And now they're going to be getting.
It's an honor.
Yeah, now they're getting $1,600 a game.
Dang!
So there you go.
$1,600.
Yep,
that's good money.
What's Brian Broaddus making for that 9-10 hour day?
That
he ain't making that.
No, he's not.
Trying to think. No,
he ain't getting that here.
No, he went. Now that's the okay. So if they're getting $1,600 a game, boy, they're really rooting for those 9 home game years, aren't they? That's
what
not
time?
Bad.
What time do they get there, Bob?
So I mean, I'll see them out there doing warm-ups and workouts and stuff. I got 6 hours before the game sometimes.
6 mm-hmm. hours?
Yep.
So they got a 9-10 hour day. It's not 3 hours.
They're really locked in about 4 hours before. But, I mean, I'll see them. I've seen them there as early as 6 hours before a game.
Yikes.
Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of money.
All right. RJ says it's not good for you if you ever dream about different ownership of this football team because of what just happened with the Lakers.
Yeah. So the Lakers sale valued at $10 billion, which I've got a major problem with them saying this is a $10 billion sale. It's not a $10 billion sale.
California. They mark everything up.
Well, it's a $4.8 billion sale. They paid $4.8 for 48% of it. Now, if you want to say you can extrapolate that out, $4.8 and 48% means you're paying $10 billion for the whole 100%. Okay, but that's not how it works.
But it's a valuation of the team now. Yeah.
Right, but you still have to prove that you could get $10 billion for the whole 100%. Like, one guy would, to me, it's like, I might be willing to pay $20 on something, but I'm not willing to pay $40 on getting double of it.
What was the number you used, David?
I mean, typically, I don't know. I mean, the fact that they were able to get 4.8 for less than half the franchise, when you consider...
What you're doing is you're becoming... Because he already had 22% of it. So now you're getting... You're going to have 75%. You're going to be a majority stakeholder. So I don't know. Semantics.
Imagine being the dude that owns the Dodgers and the Lakers. What a dream.
Oh, I know.
The absolute dream. Same dude.
It's crazy, right? But so...
And people are putting Rob Pelinka on notice because old clips surfaced of Magic Johnson saying Rob Pelinka stabbed him in the back. Well, Magic is boys with Mark Walton.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether he's going to be part of this ownership group too or not.
And the amount of crapping on Rob Pelinka I saw over the weekend, as if these people just forgot that he pulled off the heist. Of all time.
The heist of heists.
Yeah, and they're like, there's a number, Rob. No more underachieving. No more wasting LeBron's years. He got Anthony Davis. I think he was there. He got LeBron and Luka. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, the Luka one, he didn't do anything. That was orchestrated by the league and Adam Silver. They knew the Lakers were going to sell, and they were trying to do them a favor, boost their valuation.
That also reemerged as well with people saying, now I know the fix was in.
I'm dead serious now, at least asking the question. I wasn't even before. I thought the lottery was fixed. I didn't think the trade was. This at least makes me wonder. Yeah, okay, the Lakers are going to sell, or they're in a position to sell and try to pick up value for the team. They don't want the Lakers of all teams being sold for a low valuation, because who's going to want to buy that? Like, okay, LeBron's about to retire, so you're going to give me like a broken Anthony Davis as the face of my franchise? Nope, I'm going to give you Luka, the biggest name or one of the bigger names in basketball coming up. That's who I'm going to give.
See, I wonder, like, I don't know that those valuations are based on who's on the team. Cowboys could sell for whatever the Cowboys could sell. You know, Lakers are different. Lakers are different than like the Cavaliers or anybody else.
I think when the Lakers are bad, they're not the same as the Cowboys when they're bad, though.
Yeah, maybe not. But so a few things happen here is, you know, one, these Forbes lists are way wrong. They were valued at $7.1 billion. By the way, Forbes, I got a bone to pick with you.
Man. The
Knicks and the Warriors are not a more valuable franchise than the Lakers. I'm sorry, they're just not. And the Lakers were the third most valued NBA team in the last Forbes thing. The Knicks are not more valuable than the Lakers, and neither are the Warriors. And the Warriors are not more valuable than the New York Yankees. They're just not. Neither the Rams. The Rams are not more. You're telling me the Rams are more valuable than the Lakers in LA? Like, it's just not. That's all fake.
But that's football. Like football is more valuable in general. Like the NFL is viewed as just like, if you can get in one of those 32 seats, you're making money hand over fist.
You're printing money. There's no doubt. But I'm sorry, the Lakers are the third most valuable NBA team. But the problem that this is going to create is that if you ever wanted the Jones family to sell, I don't know how they can sell. The Lakers just sold for $3 billion over their value. So their value is at $7 billion. They sold for $10 billion. The Cowboys' value is $10 billion. If you were to extrapolate the percentage above that the Lakers went for, who has that kind of who's going to be able to afford this?
Groups. What are you talking?
You
got to
have groups. Yeah, you got to have groups.
You would have said before the Lakers sold, no one's going to ever buy the Lakers for $10 billion.
But here's the thing: they didn't. They bought it for $4 billion. Right? You would have to spend $15 billion to buy the Cowboys because the Cowboys aren't selling.
So you don't think a franchise will ever sell for $15 billion?
Like, if you have groups do it, yes. But the problem with groups...
That's the way it works.
Yeah, but the problem with groups is now you've got so many hands in it.
But that's the way it happens. Know, that's how A-Rod has the Wolves. He didn't buy the Wolves.
Yeah, he's got one guy with him.
Yeah.
Right, he's got one guy with him. But that's
teams the problem. Are going to sell for $15
billion. But now you have hands. You have hands in it.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing. You don't want hands in it.
Teams will sell eventually. It's just what it'll be is exactly what we've heard more chatter about recently. It'll be foreign money. It'll be... Saudi Arabia, it'll be like a live type situation where there's going to be big foreign money coming in and spending $15 million to buy a team. That'll happen one day.
You know, the amount of people that have $5 billion is one thing. The amount of people that have $20 billion is like you're talking about even more of a fraction of the amount of people. So you're looking at Elon and Jeff Bezos and Ballmer. That'd be great if Ballmer got it or Steve Cohen.
The Dallas Piff boys. That's
one
what
guy.
We're heading for.
Yeah. But the other bad thing is... and this is for the rest of the league, and this also may speak to the Cowboys too. Brian Windhorst said Be very afraid. Be very afraid.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As to the change that will happen with the Lakers because of this,
I would only suspect that the modernization of the Lakers is about to come. And if I were another team, I would not think this is a great development. I think the Lakers are only going to get more dangerous as an organization with the more resources that are, you know, theoretically here about to be poured into it.
Because he was talking that the new way of sports ownership, it's not from the families, because the Buss family didn't have additional revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Ballmer does.
Right.
This guy Mark Walter does.
Uh-huh.
And it's going now to the big-time billionaires and families like the Busses. They're surviving, but they're not making a ton of money like Mark Cuban always complained about,
right,
from just the team income.
Right. So, like, obviously, like Jerry's got outside interests.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the Buss family has outside. I don't know what the Steinbrenner family has outside interest-wise, but, you know, like those, the Maras, the Rooneys, those olds, the McCaskies with the Bears, these owners that have been around forever. Like, their entire value and wealth is tied up with the team.
But they were describing the Lakers as mom and pop, just like you talk, right, about with the Cowboys.
And, you know, when you're mom and pop, like, your income is tied to what the organization makes. And if you're in the NBA, Cuban has said, if you want to win, you're going to lose money year to year. Like, it's very hard to sustain that. But, like, are the Cowboys, you know, do the Lakers operate in an unmodern way? I don't know. I know when, like, the Yankees do. They're very old school. Their training staff is very outdated. People make fun of them.
There were some pretty cheap stories that I read from McMenamin, like the McMahon of the Lakers, mm-hmm, ESPN.com, that, like, certain guys couldn't stay in certain rooms on the road because it was too expensive. Like, they're doing some really cheap cut corners moves, yeah, as the LA Lakers.
And this guy, which, by the way, that is...
And all that is going to be out the window, supposedly, with this dude.
Which is, I mean, that was the difference Mark Cuban made when he first got here.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, was he came in here and said, like, oh, I'm going to put PlayStations in your lockers and stuff, and you're going to know that this is a place where you're treated right. Apparently, also, Mark Walter already owned 26%. So, right, if he's got that, then
he's at 75.
Three quarters.
Yeah,
he's at now, 75%. He's at three quarters of it. And there was a lot of chatter, not just from McMenamin, but there was a lot of people on, like, Lakers fans talking about yesterday, like, oh, we're not going to be cheap with contracts or this or that. So, I mean, Lakers fans have felt like, apparently, it's probably sort of like the way Cowboys fans have felt. Like, well, it's kind of a myth that we're just spending wildly on everything. We don't really do that anymore.
And one more thing. Jeannie Buss says she's still going to be the governor of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Cuban said he was, too.
And, I would like to, if they put that language in there.
My tweet on this was the biggest thing that blew up over the past couple days when I tweeted at Cuban.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because Mark said this wasn't allowed.
Right. Wasn't allowed.
The league did not allow Mark to remain the governor.
Right.
And Jeannie Buss reportedly is remaining the governor. And I tweeted Cuban. I thought this wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
We ain't done yet.
What's not allowed, I think, is the language in the deal. That it can't say it specifically in the contract. If they let him, if they let her be the governor still, this new Walter guy. But I guess Dumont wanted to be the governor eventually. But if they do allow this and they allow the language to be put in the deal, they allow language in the deal, then if I'm a Mavericks fan, I've got a, I got a major gripe with the league, because if Mark's Cuban, the governor still, the Luka trade doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I did wonder how Jerry Buss would have felt about all this, though, just because the Lakers were so much his, like his baby or whatever. Like, yeah, when you watch the Showtime thing of just like, he was like, I'm not, he made all these reckless financial decisions in order to get them. And it was like his entire identity. I did wonder, I was like, eh, this feels like, I wonder how much Buss would have loved this, like selling the team out.
I don't think he would have.
No. 67
million. 67
million
to 10 bill.
It's not bad.
That's not a bad
return.
Not a bad return.
And with that 67, he got the Kings too and the Forum. That was all part of it.
Wow. And the Laker girls. 877 and a lot of other girls. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Also the number to call to win these. How does it feel? Oh!
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call at number 1077-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the LL Music Festival on July 5th at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, every Friday at this time, commercial free, so no reason to change it anywhere else, especially if you are sitting there and listening on the Odyssey app. Thank you for checking us out, however you do, YouTube, FanCam, and Twitch. And we want to hook you up with another ticket giveaway in the final hour of the show, the 9 o'clock hour for you, the Tolo. Let's clean out the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer? Junk
it! Bobby Belt, for days and days and days, has been dying to talk about politics.
Oh, baby. I don't know that I've been dying to talk about it, but I mean, I probably did my me thing, and I screwed something up. So we had started talking about this during best and worst of the weekend. It was a nice, quiet Father's Day. There were no issues, unproblematic, no surprises. I didn't even pick dinner that night. It was exactly what I wanted it to be. But then I decided, like, I was like, you know what? Let's randomly just push some buttons. Yeah. I don't know why. I got an idea in my head. A bug crawled in my brain and said, you should do this. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And I just was talking to Kristen, and I was like, you know, we don't talk a ton about our political thoughts and beliefs. But I've always told her, like, I think we're probably more separate than she believes, because like we've never drilled down on a bunch of different issues. So I was like, I'm gonna have you take this political quiz. It's called I Side With. And I was like, all right, go fill this thing out. There's a bunch of questions on it on a bunch of different topics. It'll tell you really quickly how close we are. Mm-hmm. Well, she did like a couple of the topics. The other ones, she's just like, I'm not answering anything about that because I don't know that subject well enough. I'm not gonna give that one an answer. And so she went through, picked and chose, and then I filled mine out. And we were different. We had different results, not wildly different, and it wasn't different enough for me. So I was like, you know what? I need it to be, I need to really show you. In order for this to be really accurate, I'm going to answer only the ones you answered. So I went back and answered only the ones she answered. And I was like, see, look, we're more far apart now. And this did not sit well with her. Not that we were far apart, but that she was like, why are you making such a point of trying to show we don't think the same on things.
Mm-hmm. I was like, it's like you're trying to separate yourself from her.
Yeah, it's almost like she was just like, hey, here's the political, which I'm not generally like political line guy, like others are.
Yeah.
And she's not typically political line girl. I think that's why she thought we were kind of closer, which I would say we're probably 75-80% the same. But I think she thought we were like more like 99. And so this was an unnecessary bitter fight that I guess I kind of picked. It wasn't even a fight. It was just, she got mad. She got irritated with it. And I was like, I don't even know why I did it. I needed to know. I was curious.
Yeah. Why doesn't she doesn't know by now that this is what you do. Like your brain just wonders and
literally wonders.
You just come up with these stupid, useless projects and you're not maybe trying to pick a fight. You're just like, I thought of this. Let's do it. Like you like to do exercises or, mental exercises. Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier for her to see that when it's,
she takes it seriously
with someone else.
Yeah.
When it's with her, she's like, I think for her, she thinks like, you should be able to like break your habit, like
here. I'm not a bit.
Yeah, the, right. Her line always used to be whenever I would like start a bit on her or I'd be joking or say something. The thing she always used to say to me was, she's like, "I'm not Twitter. Don't talk to me like I'm Twitter."
Oh,
and I was like, okay. Ugh. And so I got that a lot early on. But that's the I just want to know. I need to know with Choppy. I had to send it to Choppy over the weekend. I was like, "Here, go fill this out." And of course, because I knew I didn't even bother asking you two, Sean and Peyton, because I knew y'all wouldn't fill out. I knew if I sent it to Choppy, he'd be like, "All right," and he'd do it, and he did. And
Peyton probably would have done it.
Peyton just copies mine.
Tracking. That's right.
Yeah, I didn't need to get Peyton's results. Yeah, exactly. So I'm more different from Chop than I am from Kristen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is there one thing y'all fight about big time? Like subject?
Yeah. There's stuff with education we completely disagree on.
Okay.
That she's.
And what's the left versus right study that you found? Like the left of who hates who more?
Oh, yeah. So this is something that if you've ever wondered, like, all right, Democrats and Republicans, they seem to hate each other. And it's like.
Kevin Hagelin is dying to be in here right now versus 940.
It's like fighting cats and dogs is a lot of times like, oh, they just go at it all the time. Well, it turns out one of them doesn't like the other. Either cats don't like dogs more or dogs don't like cats more. I don't know which one's which in the analogy. But new research has found that Democrats hate Republicans more than Republicans hate Democrats, which is what I kind of have always
I called that
thought.
One.
I've always thought most the way if I was going to boil it down, I've always thought Republicans think Democrats are stupid. Democrats think Republicans are evil is generally how I think that those two like would summarize each other. And you don't generally hate stupid if you think somebody's stupid
or soft.
If you think somebody's evil, you generally have a very visceral emotional like anger and aggression towards it.
Yeah, that does not surprise me whatsoever. I would have predicted that.
Yeah.
Democrats.
Least surprising thing. That would be the least surprising poll result I think we could have gotten out of that one. All right. Junk drawer here on 105.3 The Fan. Did you see that ChatGPT is melting your brain?
Oh.
MIT completed a brain scan study of ChatGPT users.
Bobby.
Now, has ChatGPT become the Kleenex of all AI?
Now, translate that to people.
Okay, so
the
like
Kleenex of all AI.
Kleenex is a brand.
Oh, Kleenex.
Kleenex is a brand, but everybody says, hand me a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Even if it's a Puffs.
Okay.
It's Coke. Hey, what do you want? I want a Coke. All right, you go grab a Dr. Pepper. Right. But you're saying you're still saying, I'm going to go get a Coke, and you go in the fridge and grab a Sprite, right? Whatever.
Yep.
So has ChatGPT become that? Everybody just says...
Yeah, ChatGPT is code for AI algorithm that will do that sort of thing, yeah.
So, obviously, AI is a useful tool for productivity. But this brain scan study is showing that it's actually making you cognitively bankrupt. A four-month study of data shows that, like, basically, your brain waves are shrinking because you're using this form of technology and instead of using your own thought,
right?
And it's making us dumber and making us our brains kind of I don't say shrink, but
you're not exercising
you're not exercising your brains.
Makes sense. It's like the autonomous vehicles. Like if a car's driving you around and then you pick up the thing, you try to drive again in 6 months, you're probably not going to be sharp,
right?
Which so I typically use it for organizing data, basically, is how I'll use it. So mm-hmm. if I'm doing some research project, I'm like, I want to take this. Group, I'll put it in there and go, hey, group this by this topic so that then it'll spit everything out for me and I don't have to put it all like data entry into a spreadsheet or something. That's typically how I use it. But it does, like, I've wondered if even that is a little bit like, am I cutting corners on my brain a little bit? I'm not asking it to think for me. Like, like a lot of people do use it that way. And that's a danger, I think. But typically, I'll use it to try and just sort data. But I've wondered if even that would mess me up.
One of the studies found that there was a 47% reduction in brain connectivity by these 18 to 39-year-olds who have been using ChatGPT for the last 4 months. And they kind of equated it with, like, if your computer lost about half of its power, you'd say it's broken. What about if your brain lost half of its power? Like, what do you call that? You know, and that's the problem that they're running into.
I argue with it a lot.
Your brain or with ChatGPT?
Yeah, with ChatGPT, but then I like argued it into like some weird Matrix world where it like admitted to me like, hey, sorry, I'm a reflection of you. I hope you know that. Like the other day, I haven't messed with it since. It's been very upsetting to me.
My life can finally resume as my wife has gotten her beloved stuffed animals as an adult. LaBooBoo.
Oh, baby.
Is in my home.
The girls were so excited when they heard Kristen's phone and it was playing off her getting it. The girls ran over there to see.
Yeah, Kristen on her trip texted us some pictures of LaBooBoos, and I was like, watch this. She's going to do something sweet. She's going to bring you back one. She might even bring you back two. She did not. So Kristen, I was like, was it LaFoofoo? Those are the fake ones.
LaFoofoo was the
fake. Or was it legit LaBooBoo?
She's got a history of sending, I don't know. She's got a history of sending.
I thought you said LaFoofoo was fake.
LaFoofoo is fake, but Kristen on her road trip with the girls sent us, she was in some store where there were the little stupid animals. Okay. And I was like, oh, she might get you one here. But she did.
I know she definitely did not want to stay in that gas station she was at where she saw them. She did not want to stay in that gas station very long. So there's part of it. But two, she's got a history of texting you pictures of things she says she's going to buy that she doesn't end up buying. So, I mean, that just happened last weekend with the PS5.
That's right. So LaBooBoo is this little stuffed animal. It's a TikTok craze. My wife was even more obsessed than I realized as I'm like, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to Walmart. I was like, all right, we'll try not to spend $700 like we do every other week. And she's like, well, I'm not even going in the store. I'm meeting this girl in the parking lot. I found a girl.
A dealer.
I said, what are you doing? Like, what are you going to do with this thing? You're almost 40. What do you want a stuffed animal for? But it's TikTok, the TikTok influence. She's like, I'm going to put it on my purse. I was like, I'm not buying you this level of purse for you to put a stuffed animal. It's going to look dumb. It's going to look stupid. She's just like, I'm going. I said, did you vet the girl? Like, what type of girl's walking around, driving around with a van full of 20 stuffed animals? Like, probably someone you don't want to be talking to. She comes back home with her two boxes, and she got to set up her unveiling. And I'm like, how do you know they're even real? How do you know it's not a LaFoofoo and it's a LaBooBoo? This girl starts breaking down the separation between the ears, the toe details. I said, how much have you been watching? How much have you been scouting these things? And she said, yeah, I know they're legit. I know that they're real. So I think it was, she ended up getting them for $40. I think it might have been $40 a piece.
Oh my God.
And they go retail for like $20 a piece. So she paid $40 over, and she's so happy. Although I haven't seen her hold it, I don't know where the things are, but we have the LaBooBoos in our home. So man, check that off of TikTok. Like, screw you, whoever's making these.
The fact that she could tell a fake one.
Yeah.
There are people who can't tell a fake purse.
Right.
So this is good evidence, though, for the argument that's been out there of just like, hey, we gotta regulate TikTok. Look at the power it has. Because she was laughing at it at first.
Well, two things that I've been dead wrong on in my life was bottled water. Because I grew up in the country with well water.
Yeah.
We
had a well. We had well water, yeah, too.
And I'm like, why do you need bottled water? Like, water out of the faucet's amazing. It's fantastic. Then I moved to D.C. and I was like, okay, I get it. Like, this is Reetma water. And then the second thing was the social media influencer. When I first heard Kim Kardashian's getting paid $1 million per post, I'm like, this is so dumb. This is so stupid. I was dead wrong about it, because whatever influencer got my wife's brain to infiltrate and cross the wires that a 40-year-old woman would want stuffed animals, yep, to put around her Coach purse, it's worth it.
You got to get, the next thing is like the TikTok shop, the drop shipping, the amount of high school kids making 60, 70, 80 grand a year on drop shipping and TikTok shop. Wow, man.
The TikTok shop is not anywhere that I even go. Typically, in fact, if I see the little note at the bottom of the TikTok and it says creator earns commission on this, I will swipe past the video. I won't even listen to the rest of what they're doing, because I'm like, you're compromised. I don't need to see that. And I know how much money I blew following fat kid deals on Twitter for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was just like, the deals
great?
Yeah. Yes. There was, and you would go like, oh,
Woot.com?
Woot was great. Woot was like that. And you would buy something, you'd be like, oh, I definitely use it. And then it gets there, you're like, I'm never using this. Like,
is
ever.
Woot a thing still?
I don't think that Woot is a thing anymore. We talked about politics. Well, we might as well just mix religion in there, too.
Man. What a Friday.
Millennials are abandoning organized religion. A new study is trying to provide insight into why. So this is something that actually has been, we are all, except Choppy, we're all millennials here. Me, you, and then Aiden, I think, is Gen Z. But millennials are abandoning organized religion. And this is a trend that's been going on for about 15 years, where they've called them the rise of the nuns. N-O-N-E-S, not nuns, like the ones Chop grew up with. This is the nuns who are just like, I affiliate with nothing. I believe in this, but I affiliate with nothing. So it says that spiritual is the new thing. So it's the old, I'm religious, or I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And it's proving that religion, specifically the organized nature of it, is more and more just not their cup of tea. And I've honestly never understood the spiritual but religious like crowd. Like, I feel like generally that's somebody who
You believe in a being, like a higher power.
Like the idea
you're going to be judged one day.
Not just that. Like, I think that most of the time when somebody is spiritual but not religious, what that generally means, I would bet 9 times out of 10, if we look in their background, they were raised in a certain religious structure. Mm-hmm. They came up out of it, didn't necessarily agree with it anymore, but there is still some like upbringing guilt of like, I've got to be aligned with something that says like, I've got to, I'm not going to just not acknowledge it because it was ingrained in me that this is what it is. But spiritual but religious is now the new preference, it seems like, for millennials.
Look, I firmly believe the reason I haven't murdered somebody is Catholic guilt.
That's honestly what kind of like what I'm talking about. Like the idea of just
run somebody over. They're like, you're in my way, plow through them. I think Catholic guilt is half.
They don't
want
to say they're agnostic, is essentially what it is.
But your kids actually really got into religion.
For social hour. I think it's social hour. That's my whole problem that I have, boy. But you want to go to rabbit hole?
Social hour.
My whole problem with like the youth church camp, not camp, but the Wednesday night, it's church night. I just think half these churches are using these kids like peer pressure to get friends together to get them into the church. Now to force the parents to go to get us to start tithing.
I think that's good.
I think
everyone together.
You're doing religion under false pretenses.
You're 100% right. Churches do, like, they will talk about church strategies a lot of times is to reach children that then pull the parents in. That's 100%. But this is very cynical to just think like, I need your 10%. Like I think a lot of it is because a lot of modern day individuals don't even tithe, if they do go to church.
They pass the bucket, right?
Yeah. Do your kids quote like and live by what they've been learning over the past couple years?
No. I'll tell you the break. What Julian asked me, the latest sexual question he asked me. I'll tell you what that is in the break.
Did they find another drawer?
He did not find another drawer.
Do they still get on you for taking God's name in vain like they were for a little bit?
No, not really. Not really. They don't quote it back to me. Like, but they're there. They go.
What do they do in the social hour at church? Or like, what is the church set up?
They play basketball.
Oh.
I mean, they have their little like circle groups.
Yeah.
Right? But they'll do activities, songs, basketball, football, whatever.
Yeah.
It's social hour.
And you're not thrilled with this.
It's just like, to me, church should be boring. You should go for 1 hour on a Sunday. You should be miserable. Mom should not even give you a certs mint, all right? Because you can't eat 1 hour before communion. Okay? That's what church should be to me.
It's the Junk Drawer every Friday, commercial free, with a Tolo Ticket giveaway. We'll have our final one in the 9 o'clock here on Sean and RJ. Choppy did not love the Ranger series, but he does love where America's pastime is headed. Diamond Cavs is headed your way on the home of the Rangers next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.